Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Jesus Strong. This is Brian Tuckham coming to you from Whitman, Massachusetts. And man, I hope you had a wonderful week and so forth. And now we're going to get back to our message of the cross series. And so, before I begin, I'm going to open us up a word of prayer, and then we're going to get right into the message, all right? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that you'll just anoint me to speak to your people tonight, Lord God. Lord, I just pray that you'll give each person, Lord God, the ears to hear, the eyes to see what it is that you're revealing to them, Lord God. And Lord, I pray that this message will change everyone that listens, Lord God, that, Lord, they will give that they will get a better understanding of the message of the cross. And I will give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the 17th chapter, I mean, 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, pardon me, begins with the 17th verse, verses 17 and 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. And this is Paul speaking, and he said, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. For those of you that are living in the world, this message is considered foolishness. But after you hear this message and understand it, you will be amazed by it. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." I'm going to read that verse again because it is so powerful. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." We are living in a day when the message of the church is changing. Churches and even whole denominations are moving away from the old message of salvation through the blood of Jesus. And they are moving toward a message of salvation through social activism and good works. The old bloody message of the cross is quickly being replaced by a bloodless message that lacks power and that lacks hope. Instead of hearing the devastating but life-changing news that men and women are sinners, today people hear a message that tells them, okay, and you're okay. Tonight, I'd like to take the same stand the Apostle Paul took many, many years ago when he wrote to the church in Corinth. Paul reminded them that he had been called for one purpose, and that purpose was to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That message was to be his focus, and that message was to be his ministry. Tonight, I would like to reinstate the old message. I would like to remind every listener that is listening about what happened that day when the Lord Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. Because it was that event which took place at Calvary 2,000 years ago that altered the future for every person who places their faith in the one who died there that day. Please join me as we revisit the old story one more time. I would like to take you back to a little hill just outside the gates of the city of Jerusalem, where we will encounter an event that purchased and provided salvation for every person who receives that event as their very own. Let's return together to the cross of Calvary and try to grasp the message of the cross. As we do, please let the Lord speak to your heart, and if you have never been saved, I invite you to receive Jesus Christ today for salvation through his precious blood. The preaching of the cross, it is a strange message that there should be life out of death. The Jews were looking for a Messiah who would throw off the Roman yoke and give them liberty from their captors. They totally missed the fact that their Messiah would be one who would suffer for the sins of the people, which you can read in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, verses 1 through 3. The message of the bloody cross of Jesus is still a strange message to those who have never experienced its life-changing power. To them, it is foolishness. This word comes from the same word from which we get our word moron. To the lost, the idea of trusting a suffering, bleeding man for salvation is moronic. And also, it is a shocking message. A brutal, awful death was experienced there on that cross. The death Christ died on the cross was one of absolute torture. You and I cannot even begin to imagine all of the pain that Jesus was forced to endure for our sakes. Even though we have a movie like The Passion of the Christ that describes what Jesus went through, it is even more graphic than that. And I will give Mel Gibson credit for doing an outstanding job as to displaying what Jesus went through, but it was more torturous and more more graphic than The Passion of the Christ was. The movie, I mean. Jesus' real crucifixion was very, very graphic. Allow me to refresh your mind tonight about this terrible price that Jesus paid for you and I as he suffered for sin that day. Number one, he was scourged, which we see in Matthew chapter 27, verse 26. Number two, he was beaten, which we see in Luke 22, verses 63 and 64. He was spit upon, which we see in Matthew chapter 27, verse 30. His beard was plucked from his face, which we see in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6. He was mocked, which we see in Matthew chapter 27, verses 26 through 29. He was stripped naked, which we see in Matthew chapter 27 and 35. He was nailed to the cross, which we see in Matthew chapter 27, verse 38, and John chapter 20, verse 25. And the ancient Assyrians were the first to crucify their victims. However, they did not nail them to cross. They merely pulled them on sharpened stakes and left them to die a horrible death that often took several days. When the Romans came along, they streamlined the method and added the little touch of actually nailing their victims to the cross. This method of death usually took several days as well. These truths don't even begin to scratch the surface of Jesus suffered for you and me, which we see in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 14. His was a bitter cup, but one that he drank of willingly so that we might be saved, which we see in Luke 22, verses 41 through 41. To hear the details of Christ's death on that cross is disturbing, but it is a necessary truth that must be proclaimed and must be heard before there can be salvation. Friend, there is only one way for you to get to God, and that is by the way of the cross. There is no salvation apart from faith in the work of Jesus on Calvary. It is a simple message, the message of the cross, not clouded by demands and details, but delivered in simplicity and clarity. One of the problems with the modern church is that we have tried to attach too many conditions to salvation. However, the Bible is clear when it tells us that the way to be saved is for the sinner to accept by faith what the Bible teaches about Jesus and his atoning death on the cross. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, which you can read on your own. This is what the preaching of the cross is all about. It is not about you quitting your sins. It is about you coming to Jesus by faith. It's not about turning over a new leaf. It is about placing your faith in Jesus and Him alone for salvation. What is the purpose of the cross? Well, the message of the cross, the purpose of the cross is about making a statement. Since way back in the Old Testament, the Lord has been telling people of his love for them, and which you can see in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, and in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. However, in Christ's death on the cross, God was able to declare boldly for all to see his boundless, matchless love for the lost of this world, which you can see in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. The cross is God's statement of love to the world, which we see in John chapter 15, verse 13. I don't have time to go over all the verses, but you can re-listen to this message and get the verses that you can read on your own. The message of the cross is about providing salvation. The Bible tells us that there is no other way to cleanse sin.
but through the sacrifice of an innocent one, of the guilty one. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, that's what it talks about. The sacrifice of an innocent one. This is seen all the way back in the beginning when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, which you can see in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. The same line of thought continues all the way through the days of the tabernacle and the temple. Their sin was atoned for by the blood of sheep, bulls, and goats, but it was never taken away, which we see in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 and 11. However, the Lord Jesus went to the cross and died for the sins of humanity. When he did, his death on the cross forever settled the sin debt of men and women, which you can see in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 and 14, and in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 24 through 28. Is it clear yet? If not, then listen to these two precious passages of Scripture, Revelation 1:5 and 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. And let me get my Bible here to read those verses. I'll be reading these verses to you from the New Living Translation. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And it says, "And from Jesus Christ, he is the faithful witness to these things, the first to rise from the dead and the ruler of all the kings of the world. All glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us." And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, it says, and again I'm reading from the NLT, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors, and the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God." By the way, the word "saved" in this verse means to keep safe and sound, to rescue from all harm and danger, from destruction and from perishing. And it sounds to me like when a person comes to Jesus by faith and gets saved, it's a done deal. That person does not need to fear losing his salvation, which we see in John chapter 10, verse 28. And the message of the cross is also about defeating Satan. Ever since the Lucifer sinned and became the devil, he has been in the business of trying to hinder the work of God. He loves nothing better than keeping souls in bondage and seeing them condemned to hell, which you can see in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. But when Jesus went to the cross, I am of the opinion that the devil thought he had won the victory that day. And I'm sure he rejoiced when Jesus cried out, "It is finished." But what the devil did not know that day was that the Lord Jesus wasn't planning to stay dead. Maybe the devil should have listened closer, and he would have understood that Jesus did not say, "I am finished." He said, "It is finished. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he did not die to stay dead. But he rose from the dead 3 days later and nailed old Slew Foot's coffin lid shut. The Bible tells us that the victory over the devil is found in the blood of the Lamb, which you can see in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Satan is defeated. He may roar like a ferocious lion, and he may try to keep you from God, which you can see in 1 Peter chapter 5, 8. But he has been defeated by the power of God, and you do not have to remain his prisoner tonight. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ to set you free. And there's power in the power of the cross. The message of the cross reveals power. When the power of the cross is appropriated, three great and wonderful things take place. And I want you to notice what they are. Number one, sin dies. When a person places his or her faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that person is forever changed. The chains of sin are broken, which you can see in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, and they are made into a new creature in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Now, the newborn believer does not have to live his life in bondage to sin, which you see in Romans chapter 6, verse 6. The blood has the power to change every life touched by it. There really is wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. And hell is defeated. No blood-washed, blood-bought individual will ever experience the flames and fires of hell. One of the most precious verses in the Bible pertaining to this subject is found in John chapter 5, verse 25, verse 24. Pardon me. John chapter 5, verse 24. There the Bible tells us that we will never come into condemnation, which you can see in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1 confirms this for us. Thank God no child of God will ever have to go to hell. Satan will not get his wish. That ought to cause us to rejoice tonight. Amen. Glory be to God. Heaven is delivered. The blood is the key that unlocks the gates of glory. When the blood is applied, the child of God becomes instantly destined for an eternity in heaven with the Lord. That is his promise to every believer, which you read in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. And there is only one way to get to that glorious place, which you see in John chapter 3, verses 3 and 7. In conclusion, when evangelist John Wesley was returning home from a service one night, he was robbed. The thief, however, found his victim to have only a little money and some Christian literature. As the bandit was leaving, Wesley called out, "Stop! I have something more to give you." The surprised robber paused. "My friend," said Wesley, "you may live to regret this sort of life. If you ever do, here's something to remember. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." The thief hurried away, and Wesley prayed that his words might bear fruit. Years later, Wesley was greeting people after a Sunday service when he was approached by a stranger. What a surprise to learn that this visitor, now a believer in Christ, as a successful businessman, was the one who had robbed him years before. He said, "I owe it all to you," said the transformed man. "Oh, no, my friend," Wesley exclaimed, "not to me, but to the precious blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin." Has the blood been applied to your life? Is your name written down in heaven? Is your faith in Jesus and in Him alone? If you need to come to Jesus for salvation tonight, you can receive Him tonight. If you need to get your walk with God straightened tonight, you can receive Him. You can receive Him while the Lord is dealing with your heart right now. All you have to do is just pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner. I believe you died for my sins. Right now, I turn from my sins and open the door of my heart and life. I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen and amen. And if you just prayed that prayer, your name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, I am out of time for tonight, and we're going to continue next week into the message of the cross. We're going to get a better understanding of it, and I hope this message has transformed you tonight. Amen. So this is Brian Peckham coming to you again from Whitman, Massachusetts, and I pray that each and every single one of you have a blessed week. And we're going to close tonight with a song by Gold City, "Preach the Word." I hope you enjoy it. God bless. Thank you.
Thank you.